on that fifth member of the household of the Holy Prophet, on Sayyid al-Shuhada, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Yesterday, we were discussing, rather continuing to discuss what we were discussing from the night before, the excellence of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. This personality then, who was born with such glory and greatness as we saw, and who was described in such lofty terms by the Holy Prophet himself, and was treated all along with mercies and favors from Allah, the Holy Prophet extending his sajda, Jibreel coming and bringing clothes and food for him. How did he translate all that into practical life for us to see, for us humans to be able to emulate him? How did he set examples that we could follow? I hope tonight we touch upon a few of those practical examples that he taught, and we can do no more than just touch upon a few examples. I hope to pick on three fields: his character, his akhlaq, his generosity, and his piety. And tomorrow then, deal with his express sayings. Not what he taught by his conduct, but even what, like the university students would like to know, what he taught in text. And particularly those interested in Gnosticism, in Sufism, will be able to see the level of spiritual enhancement of this personality. It was not a person merely born to die, as it were. He was born to make man truly a human being. And examples of that flow, as I said, even from his practical life. The example cited in all books, be they Shi'i or be they Sunnite books, relates to his good conduct to start with. And the first example that is being quoted in this behalf is that he was once in Medina, traveling on his horseback, and as he gallops along, he sees a group of beggars, simple beggars, sitting together in a circle, having dry bread. They didn't have anything with it. It was just dry bread that they could afford to eat and gather together so that they could share the little bread that they had amongst themselves. And yet when they saw this grandson of the Holy Prophet passing by, they all stood up, only to convey their respects to him, stood up in deference to him. And who wouldn't have known? Who wouldn't have done so who knew Imam Husayn alayhi salam? And when they stood up and Imam Husayn alayhi salam reciprocated their salutation, they naturally, in keeping with the Arab custom, invited him to join them. Instantly, Imam Husayn alayhi salam, to the surprise of all the people in that street, disembarks from his horse and sits with those beggars to eat with them. And people were startled that this person of such nobility and such high status should descend. He could easily have greeted them, thanked them, been courteous to them, and galloped on. He did not find all that sufficient. He came down and sat with them. Not only did he partake in their little bread that they had, but when it was all over, he turned round to them, and this is the glory of that Imam. He says, "You were so kind to me, you greeted me, I accepted your greeting. You invited me, I accepted your invitation. You brought me to this feast, I joined you in it. Can I reciprocate in the same way? And will you please reciprocate and respond to me with similar gesture?" So the beggar said, "Yabna Rasulullah, we do not understand what you are saying." And he said, "What I mean is, I having sat with you for a meal, now you come to my house and share with me whatever little, just as I shared with you whatever little you had. Come and share with me whatever little there is in my house for all of us to eat." The beggars did not know what to do next. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam turns around and repeats his question and said, I joined you, will you not join me? And seeing that humility from this grandson of the Holy Prophet, from the grandson of one who was at one time almost a king in Medina, immediately said, how dare we say no to you, Yabna Rasulillah? He takes them home, brings them to his house, gives them a sumptuous meal, and then it is said, he washes the hands of each one of them with his own hands. That is the character and the high altitude at which this personality always lived. Always lived. And this is not only reported in our books. In Ayashi, for example, you will find this reported in numerous Sunni works, including Khawarizmi in his Maqtal al-Husayn. This is why, and I want to say this at the beginning so that I don't need to repeat it all along, because it is something that can be repeated at every instance I give. This is why that slogan that I'll read, live like Ali, die like Hussein, I find it so inept. I find it so inaccurate, so untrue. I find that those who coined that particular slogan never knew how Imam Hussein alayhi salam lived. I was saying in England some time back when I was speaking there that it appears as though Imam Hussein alayhi salam was born on the dawn of Ashura and was martyred on the Asr of Ashura. That there was nothing in between in his life. All this is there. And is that slogan not really improper even for Imam Ali alayhi salam to say, live like Ali and die like Hussein? Does it not imply that the death of Imam Ali is not worthy of emulation? What superior death can there be than to die in mihrab, to be martyred in mihrab in the course of prayer? His own words, Fultu wa Rabbil Ka'aba, proves that slogan wrong. That slogan had better be, live and die like Ali and Hussein. Because both of them taught how to live, both of them taught how to die, and both of them throughout their lives taught us how to get along. This was the generosity, the level of generosity of generosity and of the akhlaq of Imam Hussein alayhi salam with that category of people who you would regard as the most mean of society, and he treated them at par with any other noble person of Medina who would treat him well. And I hope we shall discuss one of his sayings this evening where he exactly explains why he behaves like this. But the peak of his such akhlaq comes when, again, everybody has reported what I'm just going to say. Shia books, Ibn Shahra Ashub has reported it. Sunni books, Ibn Asakir has reported it. Khwarizmi has reported it. Tabari has reported it. It's all over Sunnite works that a Syrian comes to Medina called Asam. And at that point in time, Muawiyah in Damascus was spreading the rumors against Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Indeed, it was customary to curse members of the Ahlul Bayt in the Jummah prayers and in other prayers and all along. And everything nasty was said about them. And hence, the people developed a sort of an anathema against the Ahlul Bayt. And this was done quite deliberately. The Umayyads were out to destroy Islam. And the best way to destroy Islam was to destroy those who brought about Islam and who cared and nurtured Islam. And Muawiyah was particularly careful to ensure that the Ahlul Bayt are not allowed to have a high status so that all people do not follow them. Because if the people will follow them, they will follow Islam. I started this series by that particular slogan that discussing Imam Hussein alayhi salam is discussing Islam and nothing else. And so when this Syrian enters Medina, he enters with that venom against Ahlul Bayt. He enters with all anti-feelings against Ahlul Bayt. And as he enters, he is told that this gentleman who comes opposite you is Hussein, the son of Ali alayhim as-salam.
So on his horse, he pauses for a while, looks at him. He couldn't believe that this was Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He found a gentleman in his perfection, looking noble, polite, erudite. The explanation he had was of the Ahlul Bayt being the cruelest of people, ma'adullah, the most mean of people, people who would not even talk to you politely, no courtesy. That is the kind of picture he had of not only Imam Ali alayhi salam, but his sons, particularly Imam Hassan, who had fought Muawiyah. And the husn al-khulq, the high level of courtesy of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, was world famous then as it is now. Yet these false rumors were spread. But those false rumors of Muawiyah are doing harm till today, because there is that group of population in the world today which is talking against Ahlul Bayt for exactly the same reasons, exactly that poison that Muawiyah spread in those times. And those questions are asked to our youth even today. Hence these meetings, hence the importance of these meetings, that we come, and hence the importance of these discussions, that we come to know our Imam better, because this is all that Imam Hussain alayhi salam asked in his address. I say it now because I have come to learn that in the last days, as we rush to complete our series, we tend to omit certain things. And as it has come to light now, I may as well say it in his khutbah on the day of Ashura in Karbala, addressing the Syrian army. He turned round and told them, "What I'd like you to know is who I am. Because it is only when you will know who I am that you will decide for yourselves whether I am worthy of being murdered by you." We today need to know him as he was, because it is only when we know him as he was that we will fervently want to follow his teachings and follow his examples and live as he lived. I agree, it is not easy. I would be the first to admit. I would be the first to admit that it is not easy to follow what he taught. Yet, these repetitions of his examples gradually inculcate and inspire us into following those examples, and hence the importance of these meetings. When this Assam sees Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he could hardly believe what he was told. So he stops and asks him and says, "May I know who you are?" And Imam Hussain alayhi salam gives his identity, and gives his identity in the most humblest of manner. He does not say who he was. He does not say that he was the grandson of the Holy Prophet. He tells Assam, "I am Hussain ibn Ali, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi." Assam still does not believe what he sees, and turns around and says, "You mean you are the son of Abu Turab?" Because Muawiyah did not even want the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam mentioned. He called him by one of his titles, the title being Abu Turab. He thought that by calling Imam Ali alayhi salam Abu Turab, the father of the earth, he was demeaning Imam Ali alayhi salam. Little did Muawiyah know that that was a special title given to Imam Ali alayhi salam by the Holy Prophet himself. I will not consume more time on that, because we discussed that title 2 years back. Hence you can see that even when the enemy has been at pains to demean Imam Ali alayhi salam, he gives him a title that elevates Imam Ali alayhi salam. When Assam asks Imam Hussain, "Are you the son of Abu Turab?" And Imam Hussain alayhi salam instantly says, "Yes indeed, I am that son of the person you are talking about." So Assam says, "Much as I was impressed and much as I thought that all that was inculcated in me in Syria was all lies, this is a noble family. This is a noble person in person. Maybe all that I was told was lies, yet having been inculcated in that poison and having been bred in that poison for years, it could not go away quickly. And what came on my lips were insolent words. And I started immediately to insult Imam Hussain alayhi salam. with flimsy words, with words I now feel was demeaning myself that my lips should utter such words. And yet, here was this person listening to me, not only with humility, but with kindness and with compassion. And when I finished all that, he said, he recited a verse of Quran in respect of people who are insolent that the Holy Prophet was taught to recite by Allah when the Makkans were insolent to him. And having recited that, turns around and says, now that you have finished what you wanted to tell me, can I start to tell you and ask you what I want to ask you? Aslam said, I immediately thought, what will follow will be a barrage of insolence, of barrage of abuses on me. And each abuse that I made, he will answer with even stronger abuse. But what followed was that I see that you are a traveler. I see you've just entered Medina and you are exhausted. Do you need any help? Do you need any guidance to the place that you want to go to in Medina or things that you want to do? Tell me so that I can help you ease your journey into Medina and fulfill your mission into Medina. You must be tired. Do you need a bed to have a little rest? Come home with me, because I have a bed ready for travelers and it is no inconvenience to me. If you have not had a meal, I will have a meal ready for you. And this is the highest level of the generosity of his personality, not only of generosity, not only of his akhlaq, but of his perception of human needs, the deep perception of his human needs. And this is what is best required of a leader. That is a true imam. That is an imam sent by Allah. Because when a leader does not know the true perceptions, does not have a true perception of the needs of the citizens, you find laws passed that are unjust. You find rules made that are unpractical, causing inconvenience to the nation as a whole. And this happens around the world. But the Imam alayhi salam, having made those two suggestions, do you want me to help you with your mission, guide you to where you want to go in Medina, and show you where you want to go? If you want to buy things, I show you the correct shops to go to. Or if you are hungry or tired, take you home. And then says, oh, you may have a request I have not covered in what I have asked. Make those requests to me, and I will ensure that I comply with them now. Aslam says, I simply did not know how to cope with that politeness and that courtesy. He said it was impossible to deal with it. He turns round and says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, the picture I was given of you was totally different from the way you are behaving. I was told that you are a family of wicked people who want to change us and to follow one Allah which is not correct at all. You want to take us away from our cultures. This is far superior to any Arab culture that I have known. And I am so now ashamed of myself. What is the truth? Where does truth lie? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam's answer again has become a golden saying in Arabic as well as in cultural sociology. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, do not judge me by what I will tell you, nor judge me by what my enemies will tell you. Judge me how you find me to be within your own measure of what humanity you expect from me. Within your own measure of what humanity you expect from me. And the person turns around and says, there is no form of humanity that you have left. You have left uncovered. I am now even ashamed of asking for any help that you gave. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, no, those offers were genuine, and you asked for your deeds, and I am here to fulfill them. It is a favor from Allah that I should be able to help a traveler. It is a favor from Allah, he says, that I should be able to help a traveler. Alas, that Muslims had said that to him in Karbala. However, Aslam finishes that particular narration by saying that I became so tongue-tied that I almost thought that if the earth would break open, I would just bury myself in it I have not face to show this man. And the ultimate result was that I became as close a follower and a friend of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, perhaps to a greater extent than the extent to which I was his enemy and the evil thinker. This was the akhlaq of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when it came to his generosity, books, I'm not saying chapters, books are filled with his generosity, accounts of his generosity. And not only Shi'i books, Sunnite books are filled with his generosities. And indeed, what his utterances on generosity and on charity, again, have become golden words of proverbs in Arabic. The Arabs, whether Muslims or Christians, just as last year I cited proverbs in Arabic that really were teachings by Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. Likewise, Hassan, Imam Hussein Alayhi Salam, provided Arabic literature with numerous of such proverbs. The first of those examples that are given in respect of Imam Hussein Alayhi Salam's generosity, that for example which is set out by Ibn Shahra Ashub, but I will cite the Sunnite source of Ibn Asakir. Ibn Asakir in his Maqtal sets this out, as do others. He says that an Arab came into Medina because he was in debt and was not able to meet his debt. He came to Medina hoping that in the land of the Holy Prophet there will be best generous man to give him either a loan or help, and his debts will be paid. When he enters Medina, being a clever person, he went round asking, telling people that this is my problem. Who is the best man to approach? Who is the most cultured person that I can speak to? At the same time, who is the most generous of men from whom I can seek this help? And he says, I got one unanimous answer. And we will come to examine this answer when we come to examine what a poet says to Imam Hussein alayhi salam as he leaves Makkah about what people say to him. One finds that they loved him, admired him, and yet were sitting on the fence, not ready to help him when the time came, not ready to help him even on those days on which they praised him like this. This, traveler says, unanimously the people I met in Medina said, there is only one person you should go to, and that is Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. And when he inquired why, they said he is a sublime person, a person of piety of Allah. He will help you for the sake of Allah. Not only that, he will make sure that you get what you want or perhaps more, because he is charitable, generous to that extent, and he will not ask for any reward. He will not even ask you to repay the debt. So that is the man you must look for. He went round, couldn't see him, asks, where will I find this man? And he is told, there is no person of greater piety than him. The place to find Hussein is in the mosque. So he goes to the mosque of the Holy Prophet in Masjid al-Nabawi, and there finds Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But how does he speak to him? Because two rakats are over, another two rakats start, in prayers all the time. And if I may interject even at this stage to say that Ibn Asakir says that what is known of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was that he would recite 1,000 rakats in 24 hours. No 24 hours were allowed to pass without 1,000 rakats of salah being recited. The great importance of worshipping Allah in the manner in which he taught. And this is the level of Gnosticism, that you worship him in the way he taught. And if he taught that he wished it to be worshipped through salah, through qiyam and ruku and sujood, then that is the way to worship him. And who better to know that than Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Indeed, indeed, Ibn Asakir says that one found that the longest ruku were those of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the longest sujood, even in those prayers, were those of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. However, as I said, this was a clever person. He goes and sits next to him and recites a poem, begins to recite a poem. And in that poem he says that I will not take time reciting the Arabic poem, but it is so beautiful in itself. He says in that poem, he says, no person can be depended upon better than you, because you have both. You have both. Anta alim wa anta sharif. He says, because you are a knowledgeable person, a person with knowledge. And best person to deal with is a person with knowledge, not one with ignorance. Because a person with knowledge will act in a noble way. And he says, secondly, you are by yourself of nobility. Anta sharif, you come from a noble family. And it is said that no one has ever come to you and asked for things from you which he was not instantly granted by you. We would turn round to this. We would turn round to this supplicant today and even tonight. 14 centuries later after he lived, and this is why I say how he lived is an example. We would today say, oh Hussein, even today when we come to Karbala and ask for you, we never return empty-handed. None of us has come back without you supplying us what we ask for. And we don't even need to come to Karbala. We hold the majlis and ask, and you grant. Would that traveler not have been given? Imam Hussain alayhi salam finishes his prayer and immediately comes out of the mosque. Just as we discussed Imam Hassan alayhi salam last year, that in the course of the waqf, when a supplicant goes to ask, he literally interrupted. He had not even finished 7 rounds, but it was a sunnah. It was an optional tawaf, so he cut it short, helped the person, and came back to finish it. Imam Hussain alayhi salam likewise says, come home, takes this traveler to his house, makes him seated in his house, calls Qammar and says, oh Qammar, we received some money, some wealth from Hijaz. A question is often asked, how did Imam Hussain alayhi salam live? He never begged. And he says, the meanest occupation of a human being is to beg from another human being. He says that is the meanest occupation that a human being can have. So he never begged. Where does he get the money from? How did he live? And the answer to that is simple. They had their farms, and his occupation was agricultural. He asks Kamba, that wealth which came from those farms, have you still got them? And Kamba says, yes, we haven't spent them all. Qammar, as you know, was the servant of Imam Ali alayhi salam. No wonder that he should be the treasurer of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He asks Qammar, how much is left? And Qammar says, oh, we have 4,000 golden coins, ashrafis. 4,000 golden coins. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, bring them all. And when Qammar arrives with the money, he says to Qammar, let us go inside. He goes into the side room, and there he wraps all that money in a piece of cloth. And then from above the roof of that partition which divided the sitting room from the room in which he was, from above the roof of that, from above that partition roof, he hands the money to this person and says, oh traveler, this is the money that you want. The traveler says, I never told him how much my debt was. That was a question he never asked. But to him, he just gave everything he had. Everything he had. Had Qammar said, I have 10,000, he would have given 10,000 perhaps. But Imam Hussain alayhi salam knew too well how much the debt was. He did not even ask. He gave all he had. And then turns round to this person and says, that I have given you sufficient in these gold coins to meet your debt. But by the time you have met your debts, So I have also given you a ring. And that ring, the traveler says, he sold for 200 dirhams, a lot of money at that time. I have given you a ring, and that ring you can then spend on your family as you reach home, for you have no means of livelihood immediately you reach home. Look at that consideration for this person. And this person receives those gifts and started weeping. He wept aloud. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, forgive me my brother. Have I given you too little? Do you feel that what I have given you will not be sufficient for you? You know, I've given you, as you know, all that I had, but yet, and I seek your forgiveness that I have not given you enough, but do you still feel it is not enough? Do you want me to do something more to add on to this figure? And the person says, no, I am not weeping. I'm not weeping about how much you have given me. What you have given me is sufficient. What I am weeping is that how can those people ever be born who will kill you? How can that earth ever be there that will receive your dead body when you will be buried? For you deserve to remain in the heavens and in the air, not even stepping on this earth. That was the generosity of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. But he not only gave, as I said, with humility, with humbleness, as though he never gave, but he always felt that there was need to give instructions and teaching as he gave. And the great example quoted by Khawarizmi and Ibn Asakir and also in our books is of that person who goes to Medina, inquires who is the most charitable of persons, because he wanted 1,000 ashrafis, 1,000 golden coins, again, because he was indebted. And he is told, for that kind of money, go only to one person. We ask today, and I think we are entitled to ask this question, it is our right to ask this question, where were those governors of the caliphs of the time? Muawiyah had his governor in Medina. Why are all these beggars told, go to the house of Hussain alayhi salam? Where was Muawiyah then? Where was the governor? Where was Walid ibn Utbah in Medina? That people did not even want to go to his threshold to ask for money. But this man, as he was told, comes to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and says, I'm told you are the most charitable of persons, and I need 1,000 golden coins to pay my debt. Can you please advance that amount to me? Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, yes, indeed I will. But I will ask you 3 questions. And this is a beautiful episode. If you answer those 3 questions, I will give you, if you answer 1 question, I will give you 1/3. If you answer 2, I'll give you 2/3. And if you answer them all, I'll give you all that money that you're asking for. And this man says, Yadda Rasulullah, أَمِثْلُكَ يَسْأَلُ مِثْلِي وَأَنْتَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ وَالشَّرَفِ. A person of your level will question a person of my level? And you are a giant of a scholar. You are the most knowledgeable of persons. And you are the most noble of persons. How can I compare my knowledge with yours? How can I answer your question? Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, the Holy Prophet said, every person with his level of knowledge, and every person is treated by his knowledge of in his level of knowledge and his level of ma'rifah. And so will Allah judge every person on the day of judgment. He says, very well, if that is the case, I will try. And wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Beautiful words with which to start any exercise. Imam Hussain alayhi salam asks the first question. And I think there is more in the question than in the answer that is provided. The first question is, what is the best thing a man should have? And don't we all want to know that? But to make us conscious that we must be conscious as we live as human beings as to what is the best thing. Is the best thing money? that we should keep start running about it is the best thing. Reputation good name, is that the good thing in life? What is the good thing in life? Have we paused, after you tonight, have we paused to think about that? Imam Hussain alayhi salam makes us do so. He asks this man, what is the best thing to have in life? And this man gives a beautiful answer. He says, ilm ba hilm, to have knowledge with forbearance. Because that knowledge that you have gives you arrogance. That knowledge makes you feel you are clever when you are not really, because you only have little knowledge, however much you have. The professor of mathematics knows mathematics and no more. The lawyer knows laws of the world and no more. If he is sick, he needs the doctor. The doctor knows medicine and no more. You can see how limited the best of us is in knowledge. This person says, that person who has knowledge must have hilm, he must have forbearance. He must not only not have arrogance, he must be able to deal with other people at their level. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, Ahsan, yes, indeed, that is the best thing to have. Hilm, with forbearance. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, what is that thing which protects us from destruction? Which can protect anybody at any time from destruction? What a beautiful practical question to which we all would want to know the answer. But this person provides the answer. He says, "Thiqqata billah," to have trust in Allah. Because trust in Allah saves the person from all destruction. The novice, the person of spiritual level understands this more than we understand it. But we practice that day to day, that trust in Allah. I do not know that is why the dollar says in God we trust. I do not think that is why the dollar says that. But whatever the reason, maybe it sustains its value from destruction. But the important thing Imam Hussain alayhi salam teaches us is, one, faith in Allah. And secondly, trust in Allah. And then Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, what is the decoration of mankind? What is the adornment of man? Is it silver ornaments round the necks of women, or a gold Rolex on the wrist of a man? Is that ornament? Well, these days you can even talk of earrings, but didn't apply in those days. Imam Hussain alayhi salam asks, what is the adornment of a man? And he says, the adornment of a man is to have full faith in Allah and to act in accordance with the wishes of Allah. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, well, if you do not have that wealth, and look at this, Imam Hussain alayhi salam calls that faith a piece of wealth, that the wealth of man lies in what faith he has in Allah. Takes me to what the sixth Imam alayhi salam once said. And maybe when we come to discuss the life of the sixth Imam, we will deal with this. But as it comes on our path, let me mention this from his point of view. A person comes to the sixth Imam alayhi salam and says, one of your close friends, one of your lovers is so poor, would you not like to help him? And the sixth Imam alayhi salam says, look, if he is a friend of mine, then I know him and I tell you he is not poor. And when he says he is poor, he is not telling the truth. So this man says, but Ibn Rasulullah, I know. He has not even had breakfast this morning. He has no money. So the sixth Imam says, call him to me. And when he comes to me, the sixth Imam says, have you told him that you are poor? So he says, yes, I did say, because I don't have food. I have not eaten yesterday. I have not had breakfast today. My children have not eaten either, Ibn Rasulullah. And Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says to him, but you claim to have our love in your heart. And he says, yes, of that I can guarantee. There is no person who can dispute that, and I can prove that on any command you give me now. Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says, how can that person be poor who has so much of our love in his heart? That is the assessment of wealth. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam calls it wealth. This man says faith in Allah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, if he does not have faith in Allah, then what? Then he says, well, the best thing for him is to have worldly wealth. Mal bil muruwa. He should have worldly wealth with humanity in him. Because that worldly wealth is useless if it is not coupled with humanity, if it is not spent the way a human being should spend it, not the way the squanderer should spend it, not the way a stingy person should spend it, not one who will waste it in evil deeds and not do charity. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, and if he does not have that wealth, if he does not have muruwa with worldly wealth, he says, then he may as well be a poor man, faqir ba sabr, he may as well be a poor man with patience. Because a poor man without patience can so easily lose the straight path. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, but that is not easy either. He says, yes, but that is what I'm discussing, the adornment of a person. The adornment of a poor man is sabr. The adornment of a wealthy person is his humanity. And the adornment of the best of men is his faith in Allah, because if he has faith in Allah, he has decorated himself. Imam Hussain alayhi salam then turns around to him and says, but supposing he does not even have that, he does not have worldly wealth with forbearance, he does not have poverty with patience, then what? He says, Yabna Rasulillah, then let a lightning fall from the sky and burn him. He has no right to live. He has no right to exist. Imam Hussain alayhi salam laughs at that and gives him the 1,000 gold coins immediately and gives him some more money, saying, the gold coins you said are to pay your debt. The rest of this money is for your family. This is how he behaves. But the par excellence of his charity lies in this example, which was repeated so many times in his life. A person goes to him, and Qambar was sitting there and says, Yabna Rasulillah, I need 1,000 gold coins. And it is amazing when one looks into history of these events, that with all these transactions, they are asking for gold coins running into four figures. As you can see, nobody has asked for less than 1,000. It's 1,000 or 3,000 or 4,000. He says, I have a debt of 1,000, and I would wish to ask for your help. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, very well, I will give you 1,000 ashrafis. Tells Qambar, give him 1,000 ashrafis. And Qambar immediately produces 1,000 ashrafis and gives it to him. This man, strangely, starts counting the money. He starts counting every single of those ashrafis that was given to him, every single of those gold coins, to check if they are 1,000. Qambar turns around to him and says, oh, servant of Allah, Ya Abdullah, this is a charity given to you by the grandson of the Prophet. And you have the ill manners of counting how much you are given. He has said 1,000. I have counted they are 1,000 and I have given them to you. Why do you wish to count them? And this debtor says, oh Qambar, why should I not count? I have sold my dignity. By coming to beg for this money, I have sold my dignity to the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Why should I not count whether I have got enough return for my sale of my dignity? And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, Qambar, stop. What he says is so right. He has indeed sold his dignity to me and deserves what he gets. Finish your counting. He did and says, Yabda Rasulillah, Qambar has given me correct sum, 1,000 ashrafis. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, Qambar, give him another 1,000 ashrafis. Qambar says, here you are, my order, another 1,000 ashrafis. Imam Hussain alayhi salam now turns around to him and says, you do not want to count these? And he says, yes, Ibn Rasulullah, I must count these. And he counts those. And when those turn out to be 1,000, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, from under his mat, produces another set of 1,000 ashrafis and gives those to him and says, this is yet another 1,000. He receives them and says, Yabna Rasulullah, you have flabbergasted me. This debtor says, Ya Hussein, you have flabbergasted me. You have been giving like this. I now don't even understand. I made a point of counting these, saying that I had sold my dignity. I did not mean to be rude, but you have now showered me with so much money. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, I have not showered you with any money at all. What you have received from me is entirely your right. And look at the logic and the attitude. This is the important thing. The attitude of a giver towards one to whom it is given. No favors, he says, this is your right. And the beggar says, Ya Rasulullah, explain me how it is my right. Because I do not see it. I thought my right ended at receiving the first 1,000. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, yes, the first 1,000 was because you asked for the money to pay your debt. That will go in paying your debt. You will not have anything left. But you said you sold your dignity. I purchased your dignity for 1,000 ashrafis, you said. So the second 1,000 is the purchase price of your dignity. And the third 1,000 is for the favor that you did to me, that you came to ask me from that money. Had you gone to another person to ask for that money, Allah would have deprived me of that great thawab that I will now receive for having given you this money. Now that is life. Life, and tomorrow we shall discuss that in his own words when we discuss the theories, the sayings, the context, the text of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. How one lives for Allah. That is it, that you live for the pleasure of Allah. It is not what that man is asking, and it is not what I am giving. It is what Allah will see, how he will notice, how he will deal with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And one of his golden sayings is that when a beggar comes to ask for money from you, do not look at him as a beggar. Look at him as a person who is doing favor to you, and give him as long as you can. As long as you can, and so long as you can, give him. Don't let him go unassisted. Because if you do not give him, Allah will show him another door at which he will receive his money. Because what rizq Allah has written for him, he will get. He will get it from another door. I wonder whether Imam Hussain alayhi salam was then talking to businessmen, that when a customer comes, sell him your product from your shop, otherwise they will go and buy from another shop. And this is the way he taught, that it is no favor. We talked in the first night of the political systems of today, and I said then that in these nights to come, we will see how inadequate those political systems have been, and indeed are till today. And I did not mean to start on that tonight, but I just wish to make this point as we go along, just casually, just in its periphery, rather in the core of it. And on the edge, let us just think of this. What a beautiful system of socialism Imam Hussain alayhi salam was teaching. That those in the lower class should not be ill-treated, should not be treated as people without dignity, but those who have should treat those who have not as people doing favor to them. Socialism has not taught that. Communism has not taught that. Capitalism has taught the reverse. Take whatever you can get, even out of that poor man, and be rich yourself. This is the height of the teachings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam at this level. Indeed, teaches us what Quran says in Surah Yasin. I quote that because it's a verse you know by heart. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنَّهُ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, they are told, that is, man generally is told, أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, give in the path of Allah from what rizq we have given you. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, disbelievers say to the believers, أَنُطْعِمُهُمْ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ.
Do we give them which, if Allah had wished, he could have given himself? Why should I give a poor man? If Allah had given me, he could have given him too. Allah decided not to give him, so I will not give him.
And Quran says, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ.
When you talk like that, you are but totally in disarray. You are out of the straight path.
And Imam Hussain alayhi salam teaches that you are out of the straight path because when you give in the path of Allah, you are only doing a favor to yourself. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ.
You only doing a favor to yourself. You are not doing a favor to the recipient.
But Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and this is the glory of this personality, which we need to appreciate, reverses the situation and says, not only are you not doing him a favor, in reality, he is doing you a favor, and for that he should be paid 1,000 extra ashrafis.
But this is the man of piety who, when after he was killed,
even by those who killed him, and I'm talking in particular of Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayh, goes to examine the body of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And having examined, when they turned his back, they found a mark, a black mark on his body. They could not understand. They were counting how many wounds there were, how many wounds from swords, how many wounds from... And that is how we get the figures today. We know today how many wounds he received from swords, how many from arrows. They did the counting for us. We have a chance then to weep on Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which is a matter of such great excellence for us. When they saw this mark and could not understand, what could they do other than ask the other Imam who was living? They asked the fourth, and it is from the fourth Imam alayhi salam that we get this hadith. They ask the fourth Imam alayhi salam and say, what is this mark on the back of your father? It is not a mark from a weapon. What is this mark? And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam looks at the mark and says, you did not know my father. You did not know whom you killed. You killed one who every night would leave his house when it was dark, when nobody would see him, and he would carry a load, a bag on his back, and that is the mark that he got as a result of that bag. Umar ibn Sa'd la'natullah alayhi says, what would that bag contain? He said it always contained food, or it contained money. He would first go to the house of those widows with children, with orphans, and would give those widows money and say, you have no money for your orphans, here is money for you to spend. You have no food, here is grain for you. And from the house of orphans and widows, he would go to the house of masakin and fuqara, the houses of the poor people, and there he would distribute and would finish all this before the first ray of light, the first ray of light, the astronomical light, flashes into the sky so that nobody witnesses what he did. And when those people would ask him, tell us your name, who are you who every night does the love of Allah? He says, I am Abdullah, I am the servant of Allah who has come to do this good deed. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, this is how my father did live. And this is the mark that he got on his back as a result of carrying that load every night. That is the piety of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That was the character of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Yet so treated that he had, as we discussed last time, to leave the most precious thing in his life, the great sign of his grandfather. And it was on the 2nd of Muharram that he reaches Karbala. When he reaches Karbala, his horse stops. He does not even stop his horse. Ibn Makhlaf also reports that suddenly his horse stops. It is because his horse stopped and would not move on that you hear that Imam Hussain alayhi salam changed the 7 horses. And when he changed the 7 horses, each one of them could not move on. That is when he started asking people, what is that land called? Why don't my horses move? We said to Imam Hussain, Ya Hussain, you knew your destination, Not only did you know your destination, even the beast on which you rode knew where your destination was. He was given various names. And when he heard Karmabala, that this is called Karmala, he says, this is my destination. Takes the earth and goes to his sister Zainab and says, Zainab, we have reached our destination. Then Zainab says, Ya Hussein, how do you know that we have reached our destination? She knew that Karbala was the destination. She had not known that Karbala was one of the names mentioned. She asked her brother, how do you know we have reached our destination? Imam Hussein alayhi salam stretches his hand and says, my sister, take a scent of this earth. When Bibi Zainab smells the earth and says, Ya Hussein, I smell your blood in this earth. I smell your blood. Let us go away from here. They will kill you here. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, truly, this is why I have stopped. This is where I am to be killed. And Zainab, this is where you will be enslaved. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam, talking of his piety and his pleasure of Allah, immediately turns to Allah and says, Oh Allah, I thank you, your thousand thanks to you that you have reached me safely to where I will be martyred. But Oh Allah, my promise was for the day of Ashura, that I should be killed by Shimr on the day of Ashura, that is the 10th of Muharram. I have come here on the 2nd of Muharram to prove my promise true. 8 days before the day, I am here to fulfill my promise. Oh Allah, I said I would bring Awla Muhammad with me. Here they are to be martyred by these kafirs. I said I would bring Qasim. Qasim is with me for his body to be trampled upon by these kafirs. And I said I would bring my brother Abbas. You see, Abbas is here 8 days before the day of promise. He is here to have his arms slaughtered. And I said I would bring the remembrance of the Holy Prophet, my son Akbar. I have brought Akbar along so that he is also killed. Thirsty when I could not give him any water. He is here with me too. And Ya Allah, I promise Azhar that 6 month child of mine is with me here. May he be darkened and may he also lose his life for the protection of Islam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam turns to the ladies and says, Ya Allah, I promised and I fulfilled my promise to bring these ladies. If your will is that Zainab should be a slave, and Kulthum should be a slave, and my little child, beloved Sukaina, be a slave, here are they all to have ropes tied in their arms and to be taken from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa. فلا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رحم الله من يكره الفاتحة